Let's please turn in our Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. Over the past number of weeks, we've been just looking at some things in the Word regarding our relationship with the world. And, and last week, Jim taught, and it was really wonderful. And, and really drawing that distinction between the Word of God and the way and what it has set up, what is truth, and the way the world thinks, the things that the world lauds. He closed in Philippians chapter 2. And the question came up during the week about growing and how God grows us. You know, how we grow together as a fellowship, how we grow as individuals. And the Word actually has much to say about that. And I thought that what we would do is we're going to read in Matthew 13, we're going to look at a familiar parable. But there are some great, great truths in this parable. Sometimes when you read in God's Word something you've read 100 times, you know, that nightlight kind of comes out. You know, it's like, I know this, I know this, I know this, I know this. Oh, what's this? But, you know, a lot of times there are just things there that click, that God shows us because He works in us. And so we're going to begin in Matthew chapter 13. I'm going to start in verse 1. It says, that same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. I'm reading from the ESV in case you're reading from the King James. And great crowds gathered about him. So they got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables. A sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun arose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds on good soil and produced grain, some 100, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Okay? This ears to hear is, it's with the meaning of something beyond physical hearing. It's referring to the desire to understand. Jesus Christ uses a story or a parable. He taught often in parables. And we're going to get to why here in just a few verses. But the parable was an interesting and really wonderful way to teach, because it would be a simple illustration or a number of illustrations. Typically a parable would have one major point, but sometimes there would be many points in making that point in the parable. Another thing about parables is they really were an invitation. And this is what this ears to hear is alluding to. There would have been many who simply walked away. Great story. And they just went on their way. But there were some, as we're going to see, who wanted to know, who wanted to understand. That's the ears to hear. To get to beyond the physical hearing and to get to the deeper truth of what it is Jesus Christ was teaching. Okay? So it continues. Verse 10. Then the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." Okay. He who has ears to hear will be given more. The one that seeks to understand. That's what he's teaching here. A positive response to the recognition of truth is the beginning to understanding. A lack of response or a negative response to truth leaves you in blindness, which is exactly what we see here among some of these people. And he gets into why he spoke in parables here in a moment. Those that walked away without understanding, they never become doers of the word. And hence they lose what little they had. Whatever was sown, because they don't seek, they don't become doers of the word, it's lost. But those who have ears to hear, those who gain understanding, recognize it as truth, they become doers of the word. And what Jesus Christ is teaching here is so beautiful, is that you will be given more. You will grow in understanding. Isn't that wonderful? But for some of these folks, you know, they had the light of the world standing right in front of them. They were being spoken words of life, the word of the kingdom, but they couldn't hear it or understand. They didn't recognize truth standing right in front of them. Then verse 14 and 15, and it says, "Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, 'You will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them.'" Now, Jesus wasn't speaking parables to prevent people from understanding or to keep them in the dark. Rather, it was because they were blind due to hardness of heart. The word discussing that heart, it's a word that means callous. It's thick. Literally, the literal meaning of it is thick. It becomes thick, calloused. You know, if you work with your hands, I mean, I used to do construction for many, many years, and I had two rows of calluses on my hands. I mean, nothing could get through. I'm thankful I didn't have a calloused heart and it was just my hands, because I did hear the word of God and I believed it, and so have you. But Israel had become dull. They had become thick. So Jesus Christ spoke in parables so that those who wanted to understand, who recognized truth, who got a glimpse of it, would seek it. They would come and ask. See? It's wonderful. The parable was a comparison that would invite you to think about, to ponder, to wonder. What is he saying? What is being taught? And Isaiah was fulfilled in that they had become dull of hearing. They didn't seek. Many just walked away. And then verse 17. Boy, this is amazing. For truly I say unto you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Not only were these who were seeking understanding blessed, you know, beyond those who didn't have ears to hear, but they were blessed beyond kings, prophets, righteous men that we read about in the Word of God. Isn't that amazing? Righteous people, prophets who looked for and they wanted to know the things that these men were seeing, the things that were being exposed and opened up to them regarding the kingdom of God. You know, I was thinking about this and what we have and what we know from the Word of God. And you think, here we are, we're sitting in some dumb living room in Pittsburgh. And the things that we talk about and the things that we are aware of and how we can minister to one another with the Spirit of God. It's breathtaking. You've got, you know, three basic questions that basically take up all the oxygen in the room when it comes to philosophy. Who am I? Why am I here? And where am I going? Right? Pretty much is all of philosophy. Those are the questions that men in their wisdom endeavor to answer. You and I, not many mighty, not many noble, we know the answers to those. Isn't that something? And we never took a class for it, so to speak. I don't have doctor in front of my name. You don't have doctor in front of your name. It's breathtaking. You know, and I think about that when I read this verse. You know, kings, prophets desire to look into the things that you now see in here. It's just such a privilege. Then verse 18. Hear then the parable of the sower. Now we're going to read this. And the soil, and many of you are aware of this, but it represents different hearts. But I want you to note, the differences here are not in the word. It's in the quality of the soil. The soil and its preparation. If the ground is prepared, the seed will grow. Anybody who's ever planted anything knows that. So verse 19 says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. Now, this is important to understand because one, God works through his word. It's a living word, it says in Hebrews. It's the word of salvation. It's the word of life. It's the critic of the heart. Here, they don't understand. They don't understand that this is truth. They don't understand the weight of what is being said. They have no reverence for it. They don't recognize its authority. They don't understand. So the result of it is that Satan, and in this, we see his active work against the Word of God, against the things of God, against the people of God. And because they don't understand, they don't really have an understanding of what this is and who this is, it gets taken out of their heart. It gets snatched. See? And everything in the world is geared for that. Everything is geared to prevent you from getting to God's Word, geared to prevent you or make it difficult to build that relationship with God, to make it difficult to walk by faith and not by sight. All of those things are just, this is the time in which we live. But God provides a way. And we heard it in manifestations. I think we heard it a couple times. Look to me. Not to the left, not to the right. You know, don't seek what you need from the world. You're going to be disappointed. That's with a capital D. It'll look good. But if I don't understand truth, if I don't understand what this is, whose word this is, it gets stolen. Then verse 20, it says this, for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Take note of that. Yet he has no root in himself. He endures for a while, but when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he folds like a cheap suit. He falls away. He stumbles. Now, stony ground can produce for a while. It can produce for a while. But this heart walks away at the hearing of the word happy. Maybe many times. Receives the word, walks away happy. Wow, this is neat. See, but because they have no root in themselves, that this heart has no root in itself, when tribulation, mental pressures, things that come up, the winds and waves of life, so to speak, and persecution arises, because we seek the approval or the honor of men rather than God. Boom. Falls away. Isn't that something? And it's because they have no root in themselves. They didn't make it their own. Okay? Something that is vital through all of this to be very, very clear on is that God works through his word. That's why it's called a living word. He works through his word. So when that word gets stolen, when this one, because of pressure arising from the word, they fall away, they lose that vital thing that God has given us for him to work in our lives and to grow us. Does that make sense? If the word doesn't become rooted, it's just shallow or weak faith. And the wisdom of the world will absolutely begin to fill in. Because that wisdom of the world is always fighting for your heart, for your attention. And then verse 22 says, as for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. And really the picture here that's being drawn is, it's sown among thorns, but the garden isn't really being tended to or taken care of. The seeds grow among these thorns. And what it really kind of indicates here is that the heart, it's actually good soil. It grew. The seed grew. It progressed. But what happened is that the cares and the pressures of the world, because the garden was intended to, were allowed to grow around it. Where both grew alongside. You grew in the Word. This heart progresses in God's Word. But so do these thorns. And eventually, the thorns overtake it. So the cares of the world become the cares of this heart. The pressures of the world become this heart's pressures. Now it says here, deceitfulness of riches. And I think that we typically think in terms of, the love of money is the root of all evil. And No, deceitfulness of riches, I mean, you don't have to have money to be deceived by riches. The care of getting by can suck the Word of God out of your life. The fear of not being taken care of can choke the Word of God out of your life. Amounts of money have nothing to do with it. Do you understand? So, riches will deceive, and being concerned about riches will deceive. Seeking riches will deceive. Seeing yourself as not having riches will deceive. Adversary doesn't much care, just so you're deceived. See? And he especially loves it when you show up at fellowship and you sing the songs and pray and boom, 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 and you walk out that door and you think, oh God, what am I going to do? Where's my next meal coming from? How am I going to retire? Loves that. That's a picture that's being drawn here. Isn't that amazing? Did you ever hear such a thing? Yeah. So it gets to where that Word of God is no longer producing in the person's life. Eventually those other things growing in the heart, they overtake and choke the Word, which is kind of a tragic thing. Verse 23, as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands. In other words, he understands its truth. He understands this is the word of God. This is the word of life. He may not know a lot of the word, but he recognizes, oh, this is real. That's good soil. Isn't that cool? And so that word planted in that kind of soil, that kind of prepared soil, that kind of heart produces fruit. It produces fruit. And it's kind of neat because you don't, when you plant something, you plant a sapling, you don't see the feeding going on. You just see the sapling start coming up. And it grows, and it grows. But there's stuff going on behind the scenes. Stuff going on under the ground that's feeding it and causing this. And then eventually it produces fruit. It's kind of like that with the Word of God and kind of like that with growth. The thing is we're faithful. We're faithful. And we grow. Sometimes it's imperceptible to us. You know? Just like the little kid. How tall am I today? How tall am I today? How tall am I today? Shut up and eat your vegetables. Right? Well, it's kind of like that with the Word. We're faithful to these things. He allows the Word to hold and to grab his heart. Satan is not able to snatch the Word out of his heart. He allows the Word to take root in his heart so that when the pressure, the winds and waves of life, the persecution, he doesn't fold. The cares of the world don't choke it out. See? And as he continues to grow, he begins to see who God is. He begins to understand who Jesus Christ is. See? And nothing shakes that out of his heart. God works through his word. He's given us his word to put in our head and a heart and on our hearts. It's the word of God that counters the wisdom of the world. And that's why we want to expose ourselves as much as possible to the word of God. Whether it's by you listen to a teaching or you study, your personal study, read the word, think about it. It's amazing the things that take place when you just think about God's word or you think about one verse. The word calls it meditating. But God works through that and you've got the Spirit of God and he'll teach you. Just learn to get quiet with God's word. Even if it's for 10 minutes. Who cares? That's 10 minutes between you and the Father. Isn't that beautiful? So, it is so key. And then we have Spirit. And we're going to close with that here in a moment. A little bit more about that. But we have Holy Spirit. And that Spirit of God, one of the things it does and is promised and was promised by Jesus Christ was that it teaches us. It instructs us. It guides us. Jesus Christ was that comforter to the disciples. He said, I'm leaving you, but I'm sending another comforter. And he said, it's even better. It's better that I go away. Ah! Isn't that amazing? And it's so easy to get talked out of this stuff by virtue of, I know that. Or I've been taught that 100 times. Huh. Do you really understand it? So he's given us Spirit. You know, another thing that God has given us is the church. It's fellowship. That is vital. That's vital. I tell you, I've seen better men than me end up folding because they went Lone Ranger. You need to be with saints. And even some of you guys on Zoom out there, you need to do that. Find a fellowship, find a Bible study, get with some Christians. You know, God's given us this body of Christ. And one, I mean, just a simple, simple truth, it gets you out of your own head, which is like the worst place most of the time to be, isn't it? Your own head. But it gets you to, it gives you the opportunity to serve. And that's where you see God working. God works in your brothers and sisters, and they'll say things, or they'll do things, or they'll things that are like, gee, that's so cool. Or you hear a manifestation, ah, I needed that. You know, there's so much that goes on. Don't rob yourself of that. That is vital. Hebrews says, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together. It's a big deal. That's a big deal. It's a big deal to God. It really is. It's where the Spirit of God lives. It's where God dwells. In the church, it says in Ephesians. What does that mean? Even if I don't fully understand it, that's good. That's a good thing. That's where I want to be. That's where I want to hang out. Right? Sure. See, so that's really vital. That's vital to growth. And if we do these things, we will grow. God will grow us. It might be imperceptible, you know, to us. But times go on, and all of a sudden, the things that kind of took you out a year ago, they don't bother you so much anymore. Or the things that tweaked you, they don't tweak me anymore. See? Or the things that maybe you were afraid of, you're not afraid of. You start to see yourself more and more like God sees you. You start to identify more and more with your Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that cool? And that's growth. That's how we grow. And the last thing I want to mention along these lines, and then we're going to go to Philippians chapter 2, is prayer. And we know this just from experience, and you know, we've been told this, but boy, that is many times one of the toughest things to get to. Just simple prayer. Really, real quality time with the Father. You got to make it. And the world's not going to accommodate you. Oh, you know what? We're going to let up for a few minutes here. We'd like for you to take time to pray. World's never going to say that. Life is not going to do that for you. You have to do that. But it is really vital to that intimate relationship with God. We heard that in manifestations too, didn't we? Pour your hearts out before me. Don't hold back. You ever read the Psalms? They didn't hold back. Huh. That was real. That's what prayer with God is. It's real. He really does love us. He really does know our frame. He really does. He created us. He knows the weakness of our flesh. He really does. And he doesn't hate us for it. No, he saved us for it. Isn't that amazing? Oh, the silly little things we let creep in. It's just amazing. That's how it works. Philippians chapter 2. If you turn there, if you haven't already. And I wanted to close here. Jim read these verses last week. I'm going to pick it up in verse 12. Prior to this, of course, it's speaking regarding Jesus Christ and his ultimate obedience, his service, and the sacrificing of himself for us. And then in that section it says, let this mind, let this thinking be in you. And so this section we're going to read here is going to talk about that. It's going to talk about obedience. Obedience. You know, earlier I had mentioned the recognition of the authority of God's Word, that it's the Word of life, that it's truth. And, you know, and I'm not going to get into this, but just allow me to take a moment. The idea of authority is something that is anathema to our culture right now. Everybody is their own authority. I say what's true. It's my truth. That's my truth. And you will accept it. Sounds horrible, doesn't it? That's what's going on. my truth. I say what love is. I say what's right. And so what you have from that is crazy. They call it crazy. Well, you and I recognize the authority of the Word of God, the authority of God, the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we submit to that. That's called humility. And God loves humility. Says, I think it's in James, a couple places, he resists the proud. Yeah. You know why? Because you can't get through because they're prideful. I got this. So, verse 12 says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now not only is in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's put for reverence and obedience. You know, I tremble at thy word. It is such an authority to my heart. I obey it. You know, this not only is in my presence, but now much more in my absence. Paul and Silas had begun this church in Philippi. Remember, they were in prison and so on. Not only that, but this church at Philippi were in a partnership with Paul. Now, he's in prison right now. He's away from them. He can't really do anything outside of praying, which isn't bad. But he's not right there. And they loved Paul. So, much more. Work out your own salvation. This working out, it means to carry out, to bring about to its full perfection. Okay? When it's used of the flesh, it's like the perfection of error, sin, and evil. That's something. It's used, familiar verses, Romans, tribulation works patience. That's this word, worketh, produces. The trying of your faith worketh or produces, again, patience. And that word patience is the strength to continue. In Ephesians 6, it's the words, having done all, stand. Isn't that beautiful? It's the end for which it was intended. It's the growing of it. Having done all, stand. That's this word, to work out your salvation, your wholeness. And here's why. I'm not there, Paul says. I'm not there. I'm in prison. But verse 13, 4, it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Isn't that something? That's the why. Because God is working in you. So then you come to verse 14, and here's that authority. It's God working in you to will, to want to do it. And then he energizes the doing of that which he worked in your heart to do. So, let's do all things without murmurings, complainings. Because God's working in you, see? Boy, and sometimes God works things. He grows you in ways that you would have never thought of, that maybe appear to be inconvenient, without murmurings and complainings. See? I mean, these things come up. They come up among us, where, you know, God puts something on your heart to do, or or something to, you know, somebody to call. It comes up in marriages. It comes up in all these relationships where, you know, God's working. And sometimes it's not convenient. Sometimes I had plans. Have you ever heard such a thing? But see, that's how we learn. And we're practicing the presence of God. I expect God to work in me. I expect it. And this is unconditional. The obeying of it is conditional. That's on me. But his working, he's not putting strings on that. I work in you to all of my pleasure. As long as you read the word for 15 minutes a day and you know the basic Greek words. He doesn't say that. And then it says that you may be blameless, innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. See? And that word harmless, is it's a meaning of unmixed with, it's used of wine, you know, where it's pure, it's not mixed or watered down or metals. Innocent. Is kind of communicates that. And the how in verse 16 is holding fast to the word of life. So that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. See? This would be the conduct of these saints when together during that church or that fellowship together, as well as their individual lives. This is what that working out would look like. See? And it's what it looks like today. When it's the word of life that is our authority, it's the word of life that we hold on to, that we stand on, that we build, that we speak to one another. Acknowledging that it's God that works in us. He's the one that teaches us. And that we bring nothing to the table. We're really not as smart as we think we are. But it's God that grows us. See? And we become better. We just become more mature in God's word. And it's a wonderful thing. And that's what we help one another to do. That's really the heart behind being together. It's pretty awesome. So amen.